My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is Judge Not. Our text, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. This morning we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount. If there's one passage in the Bible that people are familiar with, surely it is this one. Judge not that you be not judged. This verse is quoted as a defense mechanism that judges the alleged judge. Most everyone agrees that God the Father and Christ have the right to judge, but we who are mere mortals do not. The truth of the matter is, judging is both condemned and commanded in the Bible. It is prohibited and required of God's people. But how can this be? Christians claim the Scriptures are inspired of God and do not contradict one another. Well, the answer is simple. The concept of judging is employed in different senses in sacred literature. It is tragic beyond measure that those who so flaunt this passage in such a careless fashion have not studied what the entire Bible has to say on the subject of judging. So let's study God's Word in context. Judge not that you be not judged. The word judge is, in this context, means harsh, censorious judgment, to condemn, judge as guilty. James places judging within the framework of harsh, wounding language in James 4, verses 11 and 12. The expression speak against means to slander, degrade, or insult. The type of judging that is condemned is done hypocritically, superficially, and in hostility. We are not to cultivate a harsh, bitter, fault-finding spirit that looks for weaknesses and shortcomings in others. Jesus is talking about measuring other people. We are not righteous because of other people's weaknesses, or are we unrighteous because of other people's strengths? I am not going to heaven because I am better than someone else. We are made righteous through God's grace, and not because we are better than others. Here's an Old and New Testament example. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan comes to David, who is guilty of adultery and murder. Because David was looking at another man, he condemned him to death. Nathan said, "David, who do you think I'm talking about? You are the man." David is no different than the rest of us. How often do we hear a sermon that applies to someone else and not us? "Oh, I appreciate that sermon. Old Clarence needed that one." There is something wrong if we can listen to God's Word and not take a hard look at our lives. Gospel preaching has to do with everyday living. That's the reason the Bible talks about crucifying the old man. If we can sit through this sermon and not evaluate our lives, it shows we still have a problem with self. Also, in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. The younger son took all he had and wasted it in a far country. Look at the self-righteous attitude of the older brother. But he was angry and would not go in. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." There are five personal pronouns in this one verse. The older brother was self-centered. "But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Look at his judgmental attitude. Where did it come from? I, me, and my. This is exactly what Christ is talking about in Matthew chapter 7. In contrast to the older brother, look at what the younger brother says in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Look at the difference in the attitude of the self-righteous versus the confessed sinner. How many times have I been guilty of the sin of the elder brother? How many times have I had a self-righteous attitude? How many times have we allowed self to get in the way of being kind, gentle, and understanding? I, me, and my is the very foundation of self-righteousness. The scribes and Pharisees were the most critical people Jesus ever dealt with. In Luke 7, a Pharisee invited Christ to go home with him. In his very house, he criticized God by saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." My friends, we are not in the judging business. Now, does this mean that we are never to make a judgment at all in any situation? The word judge here does not forbid forming an opinion, because everyone must do this. The most common word for judge is used 114 times in the Greek New Testament. It is translated into English by a variety of terms: judge, determine, condemn, and call into question. The word means to select, then to come to a conclusion, make a determination. Sometimes with the added idea of relating that conclusion to a specific act or a certain person. The basic term is neutral in its character. Only the context can suggest either a positive or negative connotation. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus said, "You will know a false teacher by their fruit." A judgment is made as to whether a tree is good or bad by the fruit it bears. This is the way we determine a person's character. We have to make a judgment based on a person's words and actions. According to Jesus, it is not wrong to expose error, wickedness, and false teaching. Paul exposed Hymenaeus and Philetus, 1 Timothy 1, verse 20, 2 Timothy 2, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgments," John 7, verse 24. Superficial judging is condemned. To judge someone strictly on the basis of race, cultural background, unsubstantiated rumors, appearance, or financial standing is absolutely wrong. It is a sin and a shame that in the year 2013, we still have this problem on both sides of the aisle. God is no respecter of person, and neither should we be. Paul said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Galatians 6, verse 1. Does this imply that one must be sinless before he can declare, make a judgment concerning another's conduct? It does not. Paul was not sinless. Romans 7, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Philippians 3, verse 12. Yet he did not hesitate to judge the flagrant fornicator who was disgracing the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3. The person who presumes to judge, however, must be a truly spiritual person, 1 John 1:7, with the good of others as their motive. And then there's the matter of church discipline, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. How can the church restore an erring member if they cannot judge according to Scripture that one is in sin? Jesus said, "For with what judgments you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you used, it will be measured back to you." Here we see action and reaction. This is based on the law of sowing and reaping. The judgment that we employ against others will be used against us. In Romans chapter 2, Paul condemns the Jews for being hypocrites. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Jews were passing judgment on others while engaging in the same sins. Why did God send Israel and Judah into captivity? Because they were committing the same sins that heathens committed. They worshipped false gods. God's people sacrificed their children to Molech. Jeremiah 32, verse 35. And why do you look at the mote in your brother's eye and do not consider the beam in your own eye? A mote is a little speck, chaff, dust, chip, or splinter. The mote may be so small that it takes close examination to see. A beam is a log, plank, joist, or rafter. It indicates great fault. Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye"? This presents a ridiculous picture as we try to visualize it. One person with a log in his own eye trying to closely examine the tiny object in his brother's eye. How can you see clearly with a log in your eye? You just need a little something in your eye to blur your vision. If we were to stop here, we would think we should never say anything to people about the things they are having problems with. But Jesus said, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." How he does not say that we should not be concerned about our brother. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes. Are Christians modern day watchmen? Absolutely. As soldiers of Christ, if we fail to point men to God's Word and warn them not to sin in order to save their lives, they will die in their sins. And will God require their blood at our hands? Yes. Ezekiel 3, verses 17 through 21. As brothers and sisters in Christ, if God lays a stumbling block before the righteous, and we give them no warning in order to save their life, will that person die in their sins, and will God require their blood at our hands? Yes. Ezekiel 3, verses 17 through 21. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Acts 20, verses 27 and 28. Paul was faithful in season and out of season to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. What must we first do in order to help others? We must clean up our own act. From a practical point of view, those who wrestle with their own weaknesses and learn how to conquer these weaknesses are better to help others with their problems. Too often, we judge, but we do not try to genuinely help others. We are told to confess our sins to one another, James 5, verse 16, but we rarely do that. so we do not know about each other's weaknesses and struggles. We feel all alone during the storms of life because we do not share our burdens with others. The church has to be more open in helping each other, but with a loving and gentle spirit. What is the log that keeps one from seeing clearly? The answer is self. When we have a log in our own eye, we try to judge other people's motives. Oh, I know why he did that. I know why she did that. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 2 or 6 verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 2 through 4. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. What does God see in secret? The heart, the motives. That is none of our business. When we judge the motives of others, we have assumed the responsibility that God has given only to himself. We have taken on too much. Whenever we try and judge the motives of others, there is a danger that we will misread people's actions. Whenever we try and judge the motives of others, we may make a judgment without all the facts. We might not know all of the circumstances. How often have we been embarrassed when we made a judgment and come to find out that we didn't know all the facts? Had I considered those facts, I would not have been so judgmental or overcritical. There's a spiritual application to this. How many people will lose their souls because they did not study the scriptures in context? They did not consider all the Bible has to say on a particular subject. How do we know that there is a speck in a person's eye? Judge the facts according to God's word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "But we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Look at the measuring rod they were using. They were measuring themselves by someone else. This is the problem Jesus is pointing out in Matthew chapter 7. If we use the wrong standard to commend ourselves, we may look pretty good. But that's not the standard God uses. Paul said, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court." Paul was not judged by what others thought or what they said. But he did not stop there. He said, "In fact, I do not even judge myself." Paul did not set up his own standard of judgment. He did not make up his own rules. "For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord." 1 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. This is where we go astray. We set up our own standard of judgment. I dare say there is not a single one of us here this morning that have not been guilty of this. I certainly have been. Well, let's bring this down to a practical level. Do we not tend to magnify our strengths and minimize our weaknesses? What is it that we like to talk about concerning ourselves? Our strong points. We don't like to talk about our weaknesses and frailties. When we magnify our strengths and minimize our weaknesses, what are we doing? We're doing what Paul said, measuring ourselves by ourselves and comparing ourselves among ourselves. when we magnify our strengths, how do we measure the other person? We magnify their weaknesses and minimize their strengths. If you talk about someone good in my presence, if I am not careful, I will downgrade their strengths. Why? Because of self. So I can exalt myself. I don't like to think about the strengths of others that are greater than my own. Notice how many times the personal pronoun I was used. On the other hand, when I minimize their weaknesses and magnify their strengths, how does that make me look? How do we stand in comparison to that? This is exactly what Jesus knew when he said, "Judge not that you be not judged." It is not by accident that he used the words. There are many things that affect our sight, but none more dangerous than self-centeredness, self-righteousness. Have you ever heard of someone looking through rose-colored glasses? How does that change the facts? That is what self-centeredness will do to our understanding of God's Word. The scribes and Pharisees were students of the Bible, but they saw it through the colored glasses of self. Out of that came a perverted religion and self-righteousness. The symptoms of self-centeredness and self-righteousness are described in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus calls that person a hypocrite. When we see clearly, we will help our brother with their problem. When we see clearly, we are not interested in fault-finding or being critical. How many of my words have cut and hurt others? How many times have I been unjust in my criticisms because I prejudged or did not have all the facts? The lessons of Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 is this. We do not make judgments outside of what God has already said. For example, a preacher tells one he is going to be lost if he does not obey the gospel through repentance and scriptural baptism. God has already said that one has to be baptized to be saved. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21. We do not put ourselves in the place of a judge when we quote Scripture in context. However, if God has not spoken, we should not make a determination. The psalmist said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Psalm 141, verse 3. May God help all of us to watch our tongues and guard our lips. Wayne Jackson said, "There is a wrong way to judge, and surely the best of people err in this manner on occasion. But there are also right ways to judge, and these must not be neglected due to a misconception of what judging actually is." Thank you so much for studying God's Word with us. If you would like a copy of this sermon free of charge, please write us at the Culpeper Church of Christ, 1600 North Main Street, Culpeper, Virginia, 22701. Or give us a call at 540-825-5897. Please ask for the sermon entitled, "Judge Not," and we'll send it right to you. If you would like a copy of a free Bible correspondence course, please request it. If you are in the area, we would invite you to come and worship with us. Our meeting times: Sunday Bible study from 10 to 11 a.m., our morning worship from 11 to 12 noon, our evening worship from 6 to 7 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study from 7 to 8 p.m. For more information on our church family, please visit our website, culpepperchurchofchrist.org. on behalf of the Culpeper Church of Christ, thank you for taking time today to study God's Word. And Lord willing, we will continue our study of the Bible next week at this same time. Have a great day.